limescale, rust, ground in dirt. They're a challenge for some household cleaners, but not for Cillit Bang. Cillit Bang, Cillit Bang, Cillit, Cillit, Cillit Bang, Cillit Bang, Cillit Bang. Incredible Cillit Bang, Cillit Bang, Cillit Bang, Cillit, Cillit, Cillit Bang, Cillit Bang, Cillit Bang, Cillit Bang. Limescale, rust, ground in dirt.
Welcome to Hacker Voice Radio on the 24th of January 2006, and that was Cillit Bang Remix.
Our new favourite song.
Our new favourite song. I mean, come on, if it captures the hearts of like thousands of people, sad people may I add, on the internet. I mean, it's just amazing that we've just found out that actually, sadly, Barry Scott isn't a real person. Is actually just a figment of our imagination created by a PR company. Offspringpr.com is the company that basically created him.
Bastards.
Basically what it says about his biography, which is only three lines long. It says, Barry Scott is a fictional marketing character who appears in the Cillit Bang TV ads. Barry Scott's blog is a production of Offspring PR. For any questions about the blog, please contact Charlotte at offspringpr.com. Now, it's a sad day for all Barry Scott fans.
Both of us.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
Screw it. I choose to believe that there is a Barry Scott in real life.
Barry Scott, on the zero day he created Cillit Bang.
And pennies were as good as new again.
Yeah. I think somebody's going to create a Barry Scott religion or something like that. It's just like, have you heard about the what's it called? The spaghetti meatball monster religion.
Oh, the flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah. You've heard about it.
Yeah, I was. It's weird you should ask. I was only heard about it probably yesterday.
Wow, that's
because yeah, I'm late on taking up all the internet fashions and all that. But I came across it and I was like, ah, that's pretty funny. I like that.
Just reading the post that Hepburn wrote just a few moments ago. Says, came across it as a profile ago. Yeah, I'll have to read that later. But there's a sticker says, use it, don't abuse it. A payphone saves lives. British Telecom. Looks like quite an old sticker because it's with the old British logo, British Telecom logo. And it says, don't go around smashing up payphones. It brings certain window stickers to mind that I happen to notice on one of the windows around the side of my local exchanges. Well, you, is that directed at me? I didn't.
I have no idea.
In my defense, the payphone was already smashed up and, you know, it wasn't a working payphone, so it couldn't have saved a life. There you go.
Okay.
Oh dear.
FBI online too. They want to talk to you.
Oh man. So any news on your front? Have you been a busy news searching boy or not?
Any news on my front? That sounds like I'm having a sex change operation.
Well, you heard it in live, folks.
I'm getting a 36 double D's put in on Tuesday, all right.
Fucking right. Come round to my place.
And... oh, good God, no. No, there was one thing that caught my eye today. I've been all over the usual sites that have my interest, and there's pretty much nothing out there today. But one thing from Google News that links to the San Francisco Chronicle.
Right.
Which says, most web users say that Google should keep data private. In a recent poll, 56% of users say they don't want their information given to the US government.
Rightly so.
That's more than half. Yeah. It also goes on to say that about just over a quarter of people who were polled for this, they would stop using Google if they turned over and just gave this information away.
Yeah.
I actually thought it'd be more than a quarter. You know, it's 56% say they don't want them to do it, and more than a quarter say, fuck Google if they do.
Yeah.
Basically, so I really thought that that would have been higher, more than a quarter. But
well, it's definitely Google's decision. Like we were saying in yesterday's show, you know, they're a company. Such as, let's say, if we were providing a similar service, it would really be up to us if we revealed information or not. It's got nothing to do with. It doesn't have much to do with the government either, if you see what I mean. Because at the end of the day, they would be breaching, you know, some sort of privacy law because they're using the service and all the kind of. I mean, it's actually. What I'm trying to make the point. It's mainly to do with the side of their commercial side of business.
Yeah.
Not as much as the just you going on Google typing in, you know, porn or whatever. It's to do with the paid ads and stuff like that. That's where I'm trying to get at. Because if they were trying to kind of leech off their stats. The companies that pay for the services, paid ads and stuff like that, would be losing money. Because, as you know, governments sell information on, which is like been said many times on our show.
Mm.
Example, DVLA.
Yeah.
They could then go ahead and sue Google. You know? It's just a thought, but it's something to take into consideration about what the government's actually asking them to do. They're asking them to jeopardize their own business on many fronts. One is on the whole kind of ethics side, because they're all... I mean, nobody can deny that Google was made by hackers. Those two guys were like, you know, hackers. They were very, very brainy people. They devised a hack to basically... spider the internet very efficiently, and they were more on that side, very creative, and that's basically what it was. So they have that hacker mindset, and Google is used globally and by a lot of people, which they have this sort of a friendly relationship, which is what they were trying to get at. That's why it's very childlike. Google is very the front of Google is very child-friendly, if you see what I mean, such as the way that they try and market stuff. You know, have you noticed how they change the logo to be very playful, and sometimes they have, like, children's doodles and stuff like that on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there's that side of a relationship between the generic customer and also that they're infringing on certain contracts with paying customers that choose to have different services that Google provide for them. So it's a very sticky ground that they're stepping on if they're going to be, you know, bending over backwards and taking it up the arse from the government.
Yeah, they're doing the right thing, I think, at the moment, from a business point of view, because if people start losing faith in Google, then their entire advertising side of it will collapse. If people aren't using that to search, the advertising thing will go downhill very, very fast.
Yeah, that's
the money will just empty out of Google. You know, so
if you have any views on this, it's a hot topic, so send an email to radio@hackervoice.co.uk and we'll read it out on the show, because I just want to see, just kind of sniff the air a bit, see what people's views are on this.
Cool.
But story that got my attention was just released on BBC News. Apparently, an American owns up to hijacking PCs. A 20-year-old American has admitted to hijacking thousands of computers and using them to send spam. Jensen James and Chetta pleaded guilty in Los Angeles court of charges of conspiring to violate anti-spam and computer misuse laws and fraud. Prosecutor said that he was the first to target so-called botnets. So we're looking at basically the first, from what I know, of these kind of spammers that are using botnets around the world on IRC servers and stuff like that, that basically create malicious software that hijack certain services on your machine, connect to a IRC network, and then are given commands out, either automatically or by the person himself, to do various things and to update literally daily with different tasks for them to do. It's a bit like distributed computing, but only for a negative cause. And rightly so. I mean, this guy might be very clever, but he's going to jail now, so fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him for being an arsehole. It's one thing being very clever, but being very clever to put more spam in my inbox, you can bollocks off and go to jail.
Yeah, and
as far as I'm concerned,
it really ruins this kind of this thing for everybody else, because this is what people see in the media. This is what we've been trying to fight for years. Is this negative image of hackers, and it's true. It's very true that the negative things are the ones that gain attention, and the positive things never go, they always go amiss, if you see what I mean. It's always like that, even in life, you know, you do a good thing, nobody says thank you, you do a bad thing, you get a bollocking, you know, so, it's always like that. But, another thing actually that relates to this, I don't know if anybody's aware of 180solutions.com. They're a spyware company that produce very, very shady spyware solutions for companies to buy into that then illegally and without your knowledge install on your computer to provide you services such as task bars and weather information and that kind of crap. And basically now they're being... I think they're being sued by the government, and they are in the spotlight right now. They were in the spotlight continuously, but they tried to fight it with the way that they were doing their business. Basically, they were saying, we provide this solution, but it's not our fault how the software is being used. It's the partners that the fault, you know. So they had the little clause in there that they were able to get around it. Also, a few months back, they were in the news and also on the show because they were fighting a legal battle between a anti-spyware company that was basically listing their spyware as malicious, and they were trying to sue them because they reverse engineered their software and that was illegal under their end of user license agreement and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I mean, I just can't wait for the day that they basically cease business, because they're assholes, and it's lovely to see people like that go out of business. Capitalist whores, thank you very much.
It's right, though.
Yeah. I saw another website, which is just really weird. I don't understand this website and why... It's even in action. I don't know. Some crazy guy made this script, I guess, and it's got slash dotted. It's www.ipspotting.com. And it basically tells you... it tells you how interesting your IP address is. About how... Like, I don't know, it rates the numbers, and if there are... I don't know, it's weird. It rates each number by odd or even, and, you know, if it's a high number, and then it gives you what it would be if you're playing poker or something like that, and then it says the color of your IP address is this, and it rates it by a score, and how interesting it is. It was just one of these freaky websites that spread around the internet, and they've been, like, targeted massively. Their servers have been fucking up all day by the amount of hits they've been getting. So yeah, it's very odd.
Very, very strange site. I did try this out earlier.
Yeah.
And the site basically told me to bollocks off.
Yeah.
It said, your IP address is not interesting at all.
Fuck off.
Nothing. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was working right back then.
No, I tried it at work. It was just like nothing at all, just saying we're experiencing high... hits and stuff like that, please come back later. Came back home, tried it, and it said it gave me a score of 5 or something like that, and it gave me all this information. That's why I'm able to speak about this now, because I saw what it was. Came back again just now as I was talking about it, and it said bollocks all to me, just said it's not interesting, fuck off, basically. So I don't know, there's definitely something weird about it. It actually says, you know, we're experiencing, you know, high... traffic rates and stuff like that. So
I think that's just what happens when you get slash-dotted.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I don't think it'll happen to us, but damn. we actually get how many gigs a week? I think we push about 5 or 6 gigs a week or something like that. Whereby it's like as if everybody downloads all the episodes at once. Twice a week or something like that, and that's how much stuff we push. A month, I think it's over 30.
Christ.
Nearly 40 gigs now. But yeah.
God, I've really got to check the stats, make sure we're all right for space and bandwidth.
Yeah, I check that regularly. I mean, we've got unlimited bandwidth, which is a good thing.
Yeah,
because if we didn't, we would have that boundary, even though we wouldn't reach it unless we had a huge peak suddenly at the start of a month, then we'd be fucked for the rest of the month because we couldn't serve pages. But we have unlimited bandwidth, which is good, which means we don't have that problem of having to cap some certain things. But on space, I think we're looking for another few more seasons before we even have to worry about that kind of stuff. So yeah,
sweet.
Yeah, but don't worry, I take care of that kind of stuff.
Good stuff, because I keep meaning to, but I never really get around to it.
Yeah,
that's on my to-do list. Right, I have to learn Portuguese.
La potada, blah, blah, blah. I don't know Portuguese. So.
No, I don't. Man.
Yeah.
Anything else funky in the news today?
No, it's pretty much a slow news day today, isn't it?
I thought it was a slow one, yeah.
There were some interesting things, I guess. Google News leaves beta, that's
pretty
known. I mean,
after 3 years.
Exactly. Oh, and also, apparently Internet Explorer 7 has been leaked on the internet. So, you know, good luck to them. I mean, come on, Microsoft, please. You know, just consider opening this thing up, making, you know, don't close this shit off because it's just not working. I mean, look at your competitors. Look at, you know, Firefox, even Opera. I mean, these guys made so much money, they were like, well, fuck it, we're just going to give this stuff for free now. You know, remember that when you said you had to pay for the newer version of Opera 8 or something. Was it Opera 9 or? Don't remember now.
It's up to 8.5. I think 8.5 went free.
Yeah, yeah. So they decided to just release that stuff for free, which is, you know, very commendable.
It's a damn cool browser. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
I've never got into Firefox for some reason.
Yeah. I used Opera for quite a while, and I found it very buggy. And this was early on. So I got into an alternative to Internet Explorer because I hate non-tab browsing. It just pisses me off so much. So I had to have an alternative and also have it compatible. So I used Avant or whatever you call it. It's spelled A-V-A-N-T. And it uses the Internet Explorer engine, which makes it obviously vulnerable to however many exploits Internet Explorer is. But it just gives you a whole load more customizability, as well as ability to create your own browsers through, I think it's Browser Bob. There's an application where you're actually able to design your own internet browser and code it yourself. There is a freeware version of that, but it's very limited of the software. And there's also a paid for, which is not too expensive. So if you were ever interested in modding your own, literally creating your own internet browser, which means you can modify it to the max. You can have it like, skinned to the fullest extent, where you have like naked women flying down the side and over the top of the bar. And like, hooray! I don't know, whatever you want, you just go crazy with it. It literally is very cool because you can, if you're very creative, you can create a fantastic internet browser. Then package it, as what I mean by that is you're able to package it so that you can place it into an auto installer and then upload it to a website or give it out to your friends so they can just go click next, finish, and they've got your internet browser as their browsing engine browser thingy. So it's a cool little tool. If you want to pick that up, I'm sure it's listed on betanews.com in their files section. They have like a file section where they list all the newest kind of freeware stuff. And grab yourself a copy of that if you want to play around with it.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things I have found using Opera, I tried to use that as my main browser. One thing is you do have to keep a copy of Internet Explorer as a backup.
Yeah.
Because a lot of things aren't being written to HTML standards.
Yeah.
They're being written to Microsoft's version of them. I think one of the most stupid examples of this I've seen personally was the congestion charge website for London. Now you can go on there and prepay your congestion charge. If you're headed into London, you can go on there and just say, right, I'm going to be in London on Thursday. Here's whatever it is. Here's my credit card details. Make sure I'm paid up for the day I arrive. And there's going to be no nasty letters in the post.
Yeah.
You try and do that through Opera, and it doesn't know what the fuck you're doing. Basically, the payment is all fucked up on it.
Damn.
So there are, and that's such a big site as well. There must be a lot of people using that. It's insane that it's not being written to HTML standards. It's just written for Internet Explorer. I've not tested it in other browsers.
That's crazy.
Just,
yeah.
IE, it works. Opera, whack, whack.
That's frankly despicable.
It is.
For a government website. Because
surely
they have to abide by AAA standards, which I think are most of all government and government body websites have to be bound by, such as compatibility with all the current and relevant browsers, also disability standards as well, such as the ability to be able to read all the text on the page, which means that if somebody's blind, they can use one of those text-to-speech, which is included in most browsers, and obviously Opera. That's a fantastic one. It actually included that for free, no messing about, in the browser, so you can have text-to-speech, as well as, a low-bandwidth version of it as well for crappy people with, 10-year-old browsers that are only text browsers. So it's shocking to see that happening, but I guess the only reason that website's there is for generating money. So they didn't want to spend too much on good quality web designers, so they just put some shit together and did that, I guess.
Yeah, they just bought in some firm and said, look, do this for us, and they said, okay, here's the bill.
Yeah.
Ta very much.
Yeah.
Another example of the government using IT. Oh, doesn't it make you proud?
Those two words do not go together. It's just a shambles. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're doing. I've been in many government-based IT institutions, and it's just ridiculous. And it's not as much part of the IT managers as it is and the whoever's working, whatever. It's really what they have to work with. And it's a lot of work and very little budget. So I guess they're trying to, you know, balance loads of balls at the same time, and some things drop. But, I mean, get your shit together.
Their balls drop.
Hopefully. It's just a bunch of 13-year-olds, you know. Ah, my balls dropped.
Oh my god.
I'm an executive now.
There's a free IT paper that you can get hold of. I think you're meant to pay for it,
right.
But if you go to pretty much any trade show, you can sign up for it and they'll just send it to you for free, called IT Weekly.
Yeah.
And it covers a lot of what's going on with the government sectors and their IT choices.
Uh-huh.
And I signed up for it years ago because it was free,
yeah.
Basically. I like free things. And they keep sending me in the post. And every bloody week, it's always NHS database, this is going to be 3 years overdue and £10 million out of budget, and such a database, this for the police, is coming in over budget and late again. And, you know, half of this stuff, it's been in development for years and they still haven't finished it. They've gone way over the budget and they don't know what they're doing. And it's because they're putting all these contracts out to tender and they're just going for the cheapest price. And saying, right, okay, you can do this for 50 million, you say? The other guys say 100. Right, we'll go with 50 million, fine.
Yeah.
And then these guys can't do it for the price they quoted. And they say, look, we need more money and it's going to be another 2 years at least. Oh, crap, we've signed a contract with you, so we've got to stick with you now. Oh, balls, here's the extra money. Take all the time you want. It's a bloody shambles. Every single week, front page is just, you know, crap like that. More stuff coming in late and over budget. Doesn't fill you with confidence, mate.
No, not really. Especially, you know, with them trying to do the whole fucking database things. And, I mean, we talked a lot about the kind of medical, the NHS huge database that we're trying to do, because I got some inside information from a guy that was actually part of designing the infrastructure for that, and he was just telling them, you know, they used a piece of software that was designed by some, you know, grad student that, you know, made this thing that worked for a slim, it wasn't scalable. Basically, they were trying to implement a piece of software that could only scale to a 40 plus, you know, network, and not like not global but UK wide, and it was just, it was pissing everybody off, and it was just a piece of shit. So I think, I really don't think they know what they're doing, or they're trying to cut costs, which is basically what it looks like. The government's, you know, let's say we need to link everything together at once, but we don't want to spend any money doing it.
Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Right, I think on. The problem is the people who are selecting the suppliers who are going to provide all these services for whatever part of the government it is, they don't know enough about what they're being told. So they're just sitting there saying, oh, so yeah, you can do this, all right, yeah, you're not bullshitting me, no, you're telling the truth, okay, fine, yeah, we'll go with you.
Yeah.
Rather than having someone qualified in the position of the decision making saying, look, we want to do this, and we know it's going to be bloody difficult.
Yeah.
What do you reckon? And if someone just walks in through the door and says, yeah, we can do it, then that qualified person will say, how?
Yeah,
convince me. You know,
to show
tell me some facts.
Yeah, you'd have to have some trial runs or something like that, you know, just to scale this thing.
You can't just implement a piece of shit that's not been tested.
Yeah. It's the right fucking...
It's a balls up.
Yeah. I don't know what that's...
But there you go.
Yeah. I don't know what it's like for the US government. Be quite interesting to hear about that. I don't know if it's the same. I don't know. They have very strange ways of doing things compared to us.
True.
Yeah.
And not just the advertising.
Yeah.
Easy off, bam. It's called Sill It Bang, damn it.
I liked your post. I saw that today when I got to work with the urine being on.
Yeah. I went out a Google search for it just to make sure it wasn't a very vivid dream or weird acid trip or something like that.
Yeah.
Can't believe I actually found loads of websites on it. Blimey. I just typed in urine be gone. It's like, whoa, loads of hits.
7 million hits. I guess, you know, quite a lot of people have urine problems.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah. Oh dear. I mean, it's just crazy the way things spread around the internet as well. I don't know if you ever noticed that kind of stuff. You know, it's just like some things catch on very quickly, depending on the way that they're marketed or sold. For example, like the Sill It Bang thing and many other things like the Numa Numa stuff. And I don't know, it's just... I guess it's just the nature of the internet, and I always thought, what does the internet mimic? Does the internet mimic some way of some weird super social structure? But I guess it really has a life of its own, and I think, you know, somebody should really write some like PhD thesis on it, because it really is fucking amazing the way things work on the internet and the super culture of the way things spread and the way information spreads in the internet.
Mm. I'm sure there's a few people tried to do PhD theses on you know, psychology and the internet and viral marketing and all that kind of stuff.
Especially with like blogging and stuff like that now. Recently it's become a huge thing, and it's actually very mainstream now. Blogging is, you know, you wouldn't normally hear, you know, blogging being used in the mainstream TV media kind of sense, and they regularly use that kind of terminology, and you know, especially now with a rock band called Arctic Monkeys, they were spread around by bloggers and sort of ish made famous through them, sort of thing, which is pretty interesting as well. So I don't know, the reason I kind of brought that subject up is because it's something that might be hit by the commercial side of things very soon. I may be wrong, but I have a feeling as soon as that kind of stuff goes into this mainstream, you might be looking at commercial sites for undergoing the aesthetic look of a blog, i.e. Barry Scott, you know?
What, kind of a fake blog?
Yeah, like Barry Scott, you know, we have a prime example there of the first ever kind of really fake blog. Well, I don't know if it's the first ever, but it's the first ever I've come across.
It's the first one that made me cry.
Yeah.
In disappointment.
It is a great shame, because I was so on, you know, having him on the show, and, you know, it would be pretty cool, but it's a shame.
It's not to be. Oh, well. But yeah, this thing with blogs, and after the underground bombings as well last year, you saw a massive rise in kind of everyday man reporters.
Yeah.
People who are on the scene with the mobile phones, with their digital cameras, and... you know, able to take pictures of exactly what's going on, write their observations, their opinions of it on their blog and put it out there to the world.
Yeah.
I think that is a fantastic thing. And there's a massive growth in it after the bombings because of the mobile phone images live from the scene. You know, you can't get a news crew within however many feet of a bombing site.
Yeah,
but anyone who survives these days has got a full bloody phone on them. They can probably upload it there and then from their mobile phone with a blog entry, bang, to the internet. Now, it's got to be a bloody good direction for the future of news reporting.
Oh, yeah.
So on the scene witnesses. Uncensored.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, for the life of me, I can't remember. There was like a flash animation made a while back about the future of... It was a fictional documentary about the future of the internet and the future of Google News, how it would be decentralized, because news is really centralized now. You know, you have your big rollers such as the BBC, CNN, all those kind of news networks, and I think the whole kind of moral of whatever the flash animation was trying to get put through. And it really was a very well done piece of work, was that the prediction was that it would be very decentralized. You would have many groups of bloggers and kind of unlicensed journalists putting local news out there on the internet. And we see that now with Hacker Media. And our kind of subculture, very, you know, it's worldwide, but this was a global kind of epidemic of that, whereby the news sources wouldn't really have much to do, but then actually list these sources that they were finding in the blogs. So it kind of flipped the whole news structure on its head. And it brought these big giants down onto a level and decentralized them. But I have to find that and post a link on it. I don't remember, don't have a recollection of who did it or any kind of keyword to be able to search by. But I'll have to do my best and find it, because it is quite good.
Cool stuff.
Any luck with any of your projects to do?
I've not been doing any projects whatsoever, mate.
Not for a while.
No, I've... I've been doing naffle, to be honest
with
you.
It's a shame your kind of in-car computer project went a bit tits up.
Yeah, it's a pain in the arse. Yeah. I've got to get back to that one of these days. Because it would be such a simple thing.
Yeah.
It's just that I got a bad motherboard, and that was it. So then I went, oh, bollocks to it, and threw it on the shelf. And I reckon I can find some sneaky way of getting it going again.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just I've got to take it to bits and put it in a different case and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
A lot of things I've got to do to it to troubleshoot it, basically. And the thing is, it's already kind of been done anyway. By all these in-car firms, you know, you buy a top luxury car now and it comes with all kinds of computer shit in it, but, you know.
Yeah, well. Yeah, I'm sure you could do something with it in the future, I guess, if you had a spare few weeks.
Yeah, that's the thing as well, work and whatnot, but... How about yourself? Anything on the horizon? Any bright ideas?
Well, I've just found out that I'm very skint.
Mm.
I got a few bills coming through very unexpectedly. And nothing that involves any kind of monetary, you know, nothing at all that I'm looking to do. I would love to try that cluster thing out. That would be really cool if I, you know, if I was able to save up a bit of money and go and do that, but at this moment in time, not really. It's a bit of a shitstorm for me.
Yeah, at the moment, gas, electricity, the phone bill, and the TV license are kind of taking preference.
Yeah, those are my current projects now.
To
get some food and some cigarettes and, yeah.
Working on spending less than I earn. It's a very difficult project, but I'm keeping at it. Yeah, I'm about skint after America. You know. Oh, well. January's a long month.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm getting my money in at the end of the week, so that should be a nice little breather for me, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, one of the main projects that's still around is the Hacker Voice network, which is something that we want to basically see what's happening with. Where it stands at the moment is it's ready to go. It's ready to go live, but we just need to tie a few loose ends up, probably create a new system, and then go live with that. Basically because we kind of screwed something up in the first one.
Dope.
But it's ready to go. What else? Another project is actual revamping of the main site. Would be really cool if we can get that done sometime soon. I haven't managed to get Shaman online yet, but I guess I'll speak to him next mid-month.
Good stuff. Hasn't the mid-month just passed?
Yeah, it was.
It's the 24th.
Yeah, it was actually the next month meeting in February, but yeah, it was on Friday, and obviously I was just flying back, and
yeah,
you were doing whatever, so yeah.
I was just buggering about. But yeah, I am going to try and make the main month, the February one.
Yeah. That would be good.
Down in London.
Oh, yeah, because I haven't seen you for a while. Well, I mean, I haven't seen you there for a while.
Yeah, you haven't seen me for what, 2 weeks?
I'm missing you already.
You love it. there was rumours in the IRC that we're meeting at a new
That's correct,
pub,
yeah.
But we don't know where that is yet.
Well, I know about this from the last month meeting, the day before we were due to go. It was a new pub. We were basically... It was basically about time that we found a new place because the Freemasons Arms was getting too packed and crowded.
Fair.
So, apparently Rat knew a place where they had a place for us to sit, like a place...
Cool.
Like a separate section of the pub. So, I think he struck a little deal with the people. So... Wherever it is, it doesn't matter if people don't know the location of it, because we're meeting in one place anyway, and then basically heading off to there. So that should be pretty cool, I guess, on February the 2nd, is it? No, when's it? I don't know.
Couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Let's find out. February 1st, Friday. February the 3rd is the next month meeting.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Is the normal meeting place the bottom of the elevators at Trocadero?
Yeah, as always. Yeah, that's the generic place to meet, and then we basically bugger off to wherever. But yeah, it was a definite consensus on all the 2,600 goers to basically change the locale because this place was increasingly getting packed. And it was pretty packed when we were there the first time round.
Yeah, yeah.
But you should see it, how it is like 3-4 months down the line. It's just ridiculous now.
God, so, it got worse.
Oh, yeah. Fucking, like, literally, you'll be happy to find a seat. And you're waiting there 20 minutes to get a drink sort of thing. So it was like, we need a place to go.
Yeah,
Where we can sit down, we have good access to power, and people can be there with their laptops without, you know, having too much bother.
So, yeah. Sounds like some cool stuff.
Yeah. It's funny how many people actually, you know, recognize us every time we go. They're like, oh shit, you're the, you know, the hackers that meet there, and I've seen you here before and stuff like that. So it's pretty good. Actually, something that I was meant to say on last night's show is I'd love to get a whole lot of T-shirts printed and get a whole lot of stickers going as well again, because obviously we've got enough money for a new batch of T-shirts from the funds we acquired from the sales of the DVDs of Season 1.
Fantastic.
And I don't know what it's looking like for Season 2 DVDs, but we might even consider that later on. But I will definitely inquire on some t-shirts and get them circulating.
Good stuff, man.
It's weird to see all of us, like us three down in New York, wearing Hacker Boys hoodies that time when we met up. It's kind of freaky.
I didn't think you got as many weird looks in America as you did in London wearing the Hacker Boys hoodie.
I guess nobody gives a shit in America, but... No. Did you really think we got a lot of weird looks in London?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, I wasn't too concerned about it. I was just concentrating on doing my thing. So what were the people, like, staring or just...
No, it's just people walking by and their eyes stay on you. You know, they keep walking, but their eyes fix on you as they walk past, and they're thinking, what? Yeah. What the hell are those guys up to? Hacker? What? Are they weirds? You know, are they geeks, or are they up to no good? Or, I don't trust them. That's the vibe I got walking around.
I guess they were mesmerised by my sexy ass.
This wasn't the sexy ass look. It was, should I call the police look?
Oh, okay. I get that quite a lot from women.
Especially when you're standing outside their window, wanking.
We should not mention that.
Oh, sorry. It was one time I was young.
I didn't know what I was
police
doing.
Police dropped the charges.
I mean, fair enough, I had my night vision goggles. And...
Oh, baby, you look good in green.
In shades of green.
Oh, dear.
I mean, it is kind of weird, the general impressions that we got from New York, and just literally how many people there were on the streets just walking past and... not really giving a fuck, and it was. I mean, that time when that guy came up to us, and he was like, "Yeah, I just want to do a rap for you," and you know, that was pretty cool. You don't get that shit in London, you know.
No.
They only come up to you to like stab you or something like that, I guess.
Or ask for 10p for the bus, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to get that off your iRiver and play it, do an intro for it and say what it's about and put it on the show.
Yeah,
very cool.
I did that last night.
Nice one.
So I've got it all downloaded onto my computer. I guess we can finish the show off with it.
Does it sound all right, yeah?
Yeah, it doesn't sound too bad, actually.
It's, good stuff, let's do that.
Yeah. Just trying to think where it is now. No, it's like, I called it Drunken... No, that was our Drunken Rantings. Hack of Voice,
well, if right. We do manage to find it, listeners, the backstory to this is... obviously, you're not allowed to smoke in New York. They fucking hate it.
Yeah.
So what they do is they kick you outside into the freezing cold as... I believe the Eskimos or the Inuits treat their elderly. They push them outside the igloo and say, fuck you! And that's pretty much New York's policy towards smokers. So myself and Belial were standing outside, freezing our nuts off, trying to have a cigarette outside this pub. And this guy comes up to us and... Well, originally he says it's from the Drug Enforcement Agency, but Ionics put an end to that by scaring the hell out of the guy. And then the guy says, look, how about I do a rap for you, and if you think it's any good, you give me a few dollars, and if you think it's crap, you tell me to fuck off. What do you say? And he started doing this rap, and it was all right. You know, it was pretty good. I liked it.
And me being me, I had my iRiver there, so I had to record it.
Yeah, so we had him start over again, and we do have a recording of it.
Yeah. We do, yeah.
Good stuff.
And I found it.
Hooray!
I always said so to like try and organize my desktop, and then when I do, I move things around and then lose it. So I managed to find it.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah. Sorry, I just had to mute myself there while I was coughing my guts up again. Oh, still not shifted the cold from New York.
No, fucking hell.
Bastards, man. Putting you out in the cold like that.
Yeah.
Trying to kill us off.
Yeah, I think that's what got you, is that every time you had to smoke, you had to step outside. Fucking freezing, like, minus 10 temperatures.
Standing there wearing everything you own, trying to have a fag and still shivering. And you're like,
it really puts you off smoking, doesn't it?
It really does.
I mean, if you ever wanted to quit, that's the way to quit, by risking your life.
Go to New York in the winter as a smoker. You'll come back a non-smoker. Yeah. Probably with pneumonia, but... So that's probably going to be our closing music for tonight, is a random guy from New York who stops us on the street and says, how about I do a rap for you?
It will be, yeah.
Did we even get that guy's name?
He said it in the thing. I don't know what it was, but he said it in his rap, what he was, and at the end he said his name as well. He was obviously a non-smoker.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which is a bit weird for a crackhead. I mean, he didn't really look like, you know, he just looked, I don't know. I mean, he was an alright chap, you know.
He seemed like a nice bloke, yeah. It was a laugh, so I don't mind giving a guy like that a few bucks if it helps him out.
Yeah. So I guess,
or gets him high, you know, whatever he wants to do with it, it's his business. But yeah, he's a nice guy.
We own the rights to that now, so, you know.
So let's release it and bring in all the cash. Hey! Exploitation.
Of the poor. All about that.
Yeah. That's why we started this thing. Exploit the poor.
Oh, dear. I actually got that ticket still of, oh no, I don't. That boarding pass where I was upgraded to business. I'm still going on about that to everybody I've met. Like, did you know I flew fucking legroom, man?
Bloody show off.
Oh, it was good. It was pretty good. Yeah.
I can't believe that. You're the one person in front of me in the queue. You get upgraded, I get shit.
No, I believe if you were that person, if you were in front of me, you would have gone to business. Or maybe I just had some extreme luck. I mean, what happens is they always overbook economy. And then they're like, oh shit, we need to fill a seat. So they underbook business, because obviously they have to. The complaints of a business passenger are far more than somebody of economy. So they just upgrade that person to business, which was really nice. I mean, it was quite cool. Although I was really disappointed with their onboard entertainment system. It was a piece of crap. They just replay the same things they show all over and over again over the flight.
Yeah,
they don't.
You got about an hour and a half of entertainment, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean,
It's like a movie or three episodes of Everyone Loves Raymond.
Yeah. I mean,
and then it stops, and then it starts again.
I was thinking, I was hoping it was live somehow. That's my general impression of it. But then I was like, oh shit, this isn't live at all. It's just a video. It's just a tape recording.
Yeah.
And they pause it whenever they need to speak or something. So that sucked balls.
Low technology.
Yeah. Did you notice how bulky their little CD flat screen things were? They were really, really bulky, like huge things that come out either from the back of your seat or from under your seat in front of you. I would have thought they would have made them even thinner to save on weight and stuff. I don't know.
I suppose they built it years ago when like flat screens were the bollocks.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I remember that time.
Yeah, the dinosaurs had just died out. Mankind had just started walking upright. Yeah,
and then
good
screens.
Days. It was fire, the wheel, flat screens, as I remember it.
I mean, do you remember those like Easy Everything huge, like internet cafe things, like that, not thousands, but maybe 500 computers in there with the flat screens. That was the first time they really a mainstream flat screen TVs, monitors, sorry, for computers. And they were a piece of crap. Like, the refresh rate on them was, like, 2 days. You'd be scrolling through websites, and you'd get, like, you'd get the history of it just going up the page. It wasn't until a few years until they managed to get them up to standard of standard cathode ray monitors that it really started to sell commercially. But yeah. I don't know who buys those huge monitors anymore. I'm guessing your monitor's a flat screen.
Mine?
Yeah.
No, it's the old school CRT, baby.
Really?
Yeah. I do need to upgrade it.
Yeah. I mean, because like, the standard 17 to 20 inch is pretty cheap right now. I mean, it's not terribly cheap. It's about £200 you're looking at, a decent one. But yeah.
It depends if you got £200 spare or not.
Yeah.
You know, if you have, and it's just going to sit there collecting dust, it's cheap.
Yeah.
If £200 separates you between
life and
having
death.
Somewhere to live next month, then it's damned expensive.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing was, I bought a 19-inch CRT back when they were expensive.
Yeah.
And I've lugged this monitor around and loved it ever since the day I got it. Beautiful piece of work, but it is a bulky CRT.
Oh, yeah. They're fucking
so
bulky as hell.
Yeah, it's just the depth of them, you know?
Yeah.
From the screen to where you put the power in the arse end is a couple of foot or so.
Yeah.
Huge.
And also the glass makes it really heavy to lug around, you know? I mean, I remember back in the day when I was doing odd jobs in like my high school and stuff with in the IT department, you'd have to lug these fucking monitors around the place, and that does your fucking back in, you know? To say the least. Your eyes as well. It's not the most healthiest thing to stare at.
Tis true. So I'm thinking that'll be my next upgrade if the computer survives.
Yeah.
It's been a bit of a bitch lately.
Well, what are you running?
Hardware or software?
Hardware-wise.
It's a 3.2 Pentium 4, gig of RAM, about a terabyte of hard disk space, all
nice.
The trimmings and whatnot. But it's
that's
about two. Yeah, it's about 2 or 3 years old now. It's kind of.
Yeah, that should be right.
Yeah, but it's going a bit insane.
Yeah.
You know?
It's, well, it's
starting
you're running
to
XP,
get computer dementia. Yeah, running XP, but it's getting a bit funny during the post checks. Mm. Yeah. So it wakes up and it goes, what? I don't know what kind of processor I've got. What the fuck's going on? I'm like, Jesus, just get on with it. F1. So this is the early warnings of it going, and
know,
dying.
You might just want to, like, upgrade the BIOS. See what your BIOS is. Go to the manufacturer's website. Just download an upgrade for it. Stick in a floppy or flash the EEPROM and you'd have a upgraded BIOS. It always
I could
does
do,
a trick
but
in
I mean, it's
also
it's
a risk.
Fine. Yeah, it's a risk if you fuck it up.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been brilliant. It's been fine for 2 years. Sunday, I woke up, turned it on for a little bit of World of Warcraft because I'm an addict, and it wouldn't turn on. I was like, oh, fuck. Pulled all the cables out. Found out what it was. It was dust inside the machine.
Bloody hell.
That was what was preventing it from turning it on. Honest to God. Tried all the usual troubleshooting kind of things that you should do. This, and this. Still not working. Whipped the case off. Blew a load of dust out of it. Hit the on button.
Yeah.
Boom, it came up.
Imagine.
But it's been a bit funny since then, so I'm thinking it might die.
I mean, there's few things that will prevent it from turning on full stop is... dust all the way around the intake for the power supply. That tends to jam it up and says, oh, I'm too hot, I'm just not going to turn on. Mm. And the CPU as well. I mean, as you said, it's 3 years old. It'd have an auto kill function on it. You know, if it detects it getting too hot so quickly, it just kills the CPU so it doesn't blow up, basically. That's the kind of problems I'm having with my server downstairs, is I don't have sufficient cooling. So it just tends to basically turn itself off.
It just gives up if it gets too warm.
Yeah, it's like, you know, fuck it. You know, your heat is not too high. I really can't take this shit anymore. I'm turning off.
I'm on strike.
Yeah.
Anyway, should we roll this in, music?
Definitely, definitely.
Jolly good.
Yeah. And thanks for listening to another episode of Hacker Voice Radio.
We'll be back again tomorrow.
We'll catch you all tomorrow.
And just before we roll this, don't forget to send your views to radio@hackervoice.co.uk.
Definitely.
Let us know what you think.
Yes.
Thank you all.
Good night.
And good night. Check it, yo, yo, I spit deadly rhymes, here's the solution, smoking so bad, I'm a cause of pollution, with bad effects and mad attracts, a fatal attraction, drop you to an improper fraction, ill insanity, kill like Amityville horror, as I wipe out humanity, won't leave a path, a track, a trail, a trace, but when you're staring the side of a mirror, you see my face and I'm terrified, so don't ever try to shake or bake or flake, cause I never fly, letters together, slides a fox, clever than ever, still a drop light rhymes like feathers, needed, no needers, and needed to eject this dope, cause I'm a death wish. Nobody else rhymes. Rhymes are rugged, so flooded, cold-blooded. You ain't better on butter, so just shut it. Here to perform, having a brainstorm, make a rainfall. My rap so hot, they keep my name warm. I put heads to Betty Bye like Freddy, so get ready. Cause I'ma get crazier than Crazy Eddie. I'm alone, but my tone is a sharp tune. Developing pictures in your brain like a dark room. Rappers to capture, torture, fracture. In 3D, it is me coming at your food. So my raps will surprise you like Cracker Jacks. You bite them like sugar snacks, eat them like Apple Jacks. Brother, sister, I'm a mister. My styles are complicated, patterns are twister. Yo, my shadow glows when I walk slow. Other rappers are scared to be heard, so they talk low. But I've been aching and drilling your brains like a surgeon. Rhymes are dope when I bust them, you walking like a virgin. War competitors, change your challenger. They want to talk into a mic or a silencer. What you hear is like a mission impossible. My brain is unexplained, not logical. Therefore, I pass the bait to assassinate. Busting your ass so fast, it'll fascinate. You try to duplicate to get up to date. Can't wait to get my pitch out of paper mate. The innovator with greater data, deeper than the creator. Of course, I am the boss of the crossfader. The rage is on my rhyme. The airborne stage is warm. My rap motor gears on. Moving ahead, never bled inside of bloodshed. Nothing is said, it's that heads are dead. E-Rap manages styles, taking all the advantages. Putting other rappers in bandages. Yo, I got rhymes so hot, they're tan. They might be cool, but they're far from a fan. I'll let you know when I'm making a showbiz. Give me a quiz and I'ma show you where E lives. Bright as Einstein, brighter than sunshine. Rhymes will intoxicate like moonshine. Total disaster, the broadcast, the master, pass the ass, the tempo goes faster. Sparks shoot out from the mic when the rhyme at night. So words are right and tight, put in flight. Rappers evaporate my vapors. I drop science on papers like building skyscrapers. When I die, scientists will observe my brain. Donate it to science, the answer be unexplained. But as long as I inhale and exhale, I challenge the next female or the next male. What you're in your ear will soon appear to be clear. Consider me fair, cause I fear I dance. That sticks to the mix, more tricks than a 666. So yo, you better grab a crucifix.
Yo, he was killing me with the cigarette.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.